Our Asakrushan and MA Sonic Origins 437. 438 LECTURESONANCIENTPHILOSOPHY. The Roman Collegia was a branch of the Dionysiacs and to it belonged those initiated artisans who fashioned the impressive monuments whose ruins still lend their immortal glory to the eternal city. In his 10 books on architecture, Vitruvius, the initiate of the Collegia, has revealed that which was permissible concerning the secrets of his holy order of the inner mice. Teres, however, he could not write, for these were reserved for such as had donned the leather apron of the craft. In his consideration of the books now available concerning the mysteries, the thoughtful reader should note the following words appear in a 12th century volume entitled Arte fil liber secretus. Is not this an art full of secrets? And believest thou, O fool, that we plainly teach the secret of secrets, taking our words according to their literal interpretation? See Safar Hda. Barim. Into the stones they trued, the adepts of the Collegia deeply carved their Gnostic symbols. From earliest times the initiated stonecutters marked their perfected works with the secret emblems of their crafts and degrees, that unborn generations might realize that the master builders of the first ages also labored for the same ends sought by men today. The mysteries of Egypt and Persia that had found a haven in the Arabian desert reached Europe by way of the Knights Templars and the Rosicrucians. The Temple of the Rose Cross at Damascus had preserved the secret philosophy of the Rose of Sharon. The Druzes of the Lebanon Mountains still retain the mysticism of ancient Syria, and the dervishes, as they lean on their carved and crotched sticks, still meditate upon the secret instruction perpetuated from the days of the four caliphs, from the far places of Iraq and the hidden retreats of the Sufi mystics. The ancient wisdom found its way into Europe was Jacques de Molay burned by the Holy Inquisition merely because he wore the red cross of the Templar? What were those secrets to which he was true even in death? Did his companion knights perish with him merely because they had amassed a fortune and exercised an unusual degree of temporal power? To the thoughtless these may constitute ample grounds, but to those who can pierce the film of the specious Rosicrucianandmasonicorigins 439 and the superficial, they are assuredly insufficient. It was not the physical power of the Templars, but the knowledge which they had brought with them from the East, that the Church feared. The Templars had discovered part of the great Arcanum. They had become wise in those mysteries which had been celebrated in Mecca thousands of years before the advent of Muhammad. They had read a few pages from the dread Book of the Anthropo, and for this knowledge they were doomed to die. What was the black magic of which the Templars were accused? What was Baphomet, the goat of Mendez, whose mysteries they were declared to have celebrated? All these are questions worthy of thoughtful consideration by every studious Mason. Truth is eternal. The so-called revelations of truth that come in different religions are actually but a re-emphasis of an ever-existing doctrine. Moses did not originate a new religion for Israel, he simply adapted the mysteries of Egypt to the needs of Israel. The Ark triumphantly borne by the 12 tribes through the wilderness was copied after the Isaac Ark, which may still be traced in faint bas-relief upon the ruins of the Temple of Philae. Even the two brooding cherubim over the mercy seat are visible in the Egyptian carving, furnishing indubitable evidence that the secret doctrine of Egypt was the prototype of Israel's mystery religion. In his reformation of Indian philosophy, Buddha likewise did not reject the esoteric schism of the Brahmins, but rather adapted this esotericism to the needs of the masses in India. The mystic secrets locked within the holy Vedas were disclosed in order that all men, irrespective of caste, might partake of wisdom and share in a common heritage of good. Jesus was a rabbi of the Jews, a teacher of the holy law who discoursed in the synagogue, interpreting the Torah according to the teachings of his sect. He brought no new message, nor were his reformations radical. He merely tore away the veil from the temple in order that not only Pharisee and Sadducee, but also publican and sinner, might together behold the glory of an ageless faith. 440 LECTURESONANCIENTPHILOSOPHY. In his cavern on Mount Hira, Muhammad prayed not for new truths, but for old truths to be restated in their original purity and simplicity in order that men might understand again the primitive religion, God's clear revelation to the first patriarchs. The mysteries of Islam had been celebrated in the sanctuary of the Kaaba centuries before the holy pilgrimage. The Prophet was but the reformer of a decadent pagandom, the smasher of idols, the purifier of defiled mysteries. The dervishes, who patterned their garments after those of the Prophet, still preserve that inner teaching of the elect, and for them the axis of the earth, the supreme hierophant, visible only to the faith, still sits in meditation upon the flat roof of the Kaaba. Neither carpenter nor camel driver, as Abdu'l-Bahá might have said, can fashion a world religion from the substances of his own mind. Neither prophet nor savior preached a doctrine which was his own, but in language suitable to his time and race retold that ancient wisdom which has been preserved within the mysteries since the dawning of human consciousness. So with the Masonic mysteries of today, each Mason has at hand those lofty principles of universal order upon whose certainties the faiths of mankind have ever been established. Father C.R.C., the Master of the Rosy Cross, was initiated into the great work at Damkar. Later at Fez, further information was given him relating to the sorcery of the Arabians. From these wizards of the desert he also secured the sacred Book M, which is declared to have contained the accumulated knowledge of the world. He translated this volume into Latin for the edification of his order, but only the initiates know the present hidden repository of the Rosicrucian Manu scripts, charters, and manifestos. From the Arabian CRC also learned Urf, the elemental peoples, and how, with their aid, it was possible to gain admission to the ethereal world where dwelt the genii and nature spirits. He thus discovered that the magical creatures of the Arabian Nights entertainment actually existed, though invisible to the ordinary mortal. From astrologers living in the desert far from the concourse of the Rosicrucianandmasonicorigns 441 marketplace, he was further instructed concerning the mysteries of the stars, the virtues resident in the astral light, the rituals of magic and invocation, the preparation of therapeutic talis, mans, and the binding of the genii. He became an adept in the gathering of medicinal herbs, the transmutation of metals, and the manufacture of precious gems by artificial means. Even the secret of the elixir of life and the universal panacea were communicated to him, enriched beyond the dreams of Croesus. The holy master returned to Europe and there established a house of wisdom which he called Domus Sancti Spiritus. This house he enveloped in clouds, it is said, so that men could not discover it. What are these clouds, but the rituals and symbols under which is concealed the great arcanum, that unspeakable mystery which every true Mason must seek if he would become in reality a prince of the royal secret? Paracelsus, the Swiss Hermes, was initiated into the secrets of alchemy in Constantinople and there beheld the consummation of the magnum opus. He is consequently entitled to be mentioned among those initiated by the Arabians into the Rosicrucian work. Cagliostro was also initiated by the Arabians, and because of the knowledge he had thus secured incurred the displeasure of the Holy Seconds. From the unprobed depths of Arabian Rosicrucianism issued the illustrious Comte de St. Germain, over whose Masonic activities the veil of impenetrable mystery still hangs. The exalted body of initiates whom he represented, as well as the mission he came to accomplish, have both been concealed from the members of the craft at large, and are apparent only to those few discerning Masons who sense the supernal philosophic destiny of their fraternity. The modern Masonic order can be traced back to a period in European history famous for its intrigue, both political and sociological. Between the years 1600 and 1800, mysterious agents moved across the face of the continent. The forerunner of modern thought was beginning to make its appearance, and all Europe was passing through the throes of internal dissension and reconstruction. Democracy was in its infancy, yet its po 442 lecturationcientphilosophy potential power was already being felt. Thrones were beginning to totter. The aristocracy of Europe was like the old man on Sinbad's back, it was becoming more unbearable with every passing day. Although upon the surface national governments were seemingly able to cope with the situation, there was a definite undercurrent of impending change. Out of the masses, long patient under the yoke oppression, were rising up the champions of religious, philosophic, and political liberty. These led the factions of the dissatisfied, people with legitimate grievances against the intolerance of the church and the oppressed scion of the crown. Out of this struggle for expression, certain definite ideals materialized which have now come to be considered peculiarly Masonic. The divine prerogatives of humanity were being crushed out by the three great powers of ignorance, superstition, and fear. Ignorance, the power of the mob; superstition, the power of the church; and fear, the power of the despot. Between the thinker and personal liberty loomed the three ruffians or poor sonifications of impediment: the torch, the crown, and the tiara. Brute force, kingly power, and ecclesiastical persuasion became the agents of a great oppression, the motive of a deep unrest, the deterrent to all progress. It was unlawful to think, well nigh fatal to philosophize, rank heresy to doubt. To question the infallibility of the existing order was to invite the persecution of the church and the state. Together they incited the populace, which thereupon played the role of executioner for these arch enemies of human liberty. Thus the ideal of democracy assumed a definite form during these stormy periods of European history. This democracy was not only a vision, but a retrospection, not only a looking forward, but a gazing backward upon better days and the effort to project those better days into the unborn tomorrow. The ethical, political, and philosophical institutions of antiquity, with their constructive effect upon the whole structure of the state, were noble examples of possible conditions. It became the dream of the oppressed to re-establish a golden age upon the earth, an age in which the thinker could think in safety and the dreamer